All right, getting switched on here. 1 John chapter 1, and we'll pick up in verse number 5. We're continuing where we began last Sunday, looking at John's first epistle here. And this is considered what we call general Christian epistles. He's not writing specifically to one specific church. Most people think he's writing to some of the churches in the area of Ephesus that you might read about in Revelation 2 and 3. But obviously, he's writing to them, but for all of us, because these are basic elemental principles for Christians, and it's a really blessed letter that he writes here. And let's pick up in verse 5. We'll read down to the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "This then is the message which we have heard of him, and declare unto you that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us." Let's go to the Lord in prayer this morning. Our Heavenly Father, thank you for the blessing of being in this service, of worshiping you, of being ministered unto you in song, and through all that we've just occurred in this meeting this morning. And as we take this time to glean truth from your word, Lord, we don't want to be cavalier. We don't want to take for granted that we have the privilege to open up the holy word of God. Lord, thank you that you divinely inspired these writings. Thank you that you divinely preserved these writings for us. Thank you that you are writing a love letter to us, that we can learn who you are and learn who we are supposed to be for you. Lord, we approach your word this morning and the preaching of your word with sincerity, with open hearts, with a willingness to say yes to all that the Spirit shows us. Would you fill me and empower me to speak with boldness, with compassion, and would you be glorified by all that's said and done? For it's in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Amen. I want to preach this morning on the provisions of fellowship. The provisions of fellowship. John's letter continues by highlighting the reality that we can have a relationship with God. We can have fellowship with God. We can have communion with God and with each other. And the basis for this fellowship is abiding in God's light, as we see here in our text. And there are some warnings of the conditions for fellowship. It's not guaranteed. It's not automatic that you'll enjoy close fellowship with God. But there's also some merciful provisions for this fellowship that God in his mercy provides a way to restore fellowship when it's lost. You see, fellowship, relationship, connecting with God has to do with our communion with Christ, which unfortunately can change. But it does not have to do with our union with Christ. Our union with Christ can never change. It's like maybe those of you that are parents. You know, your children may disobey you and do some things to fracture your relationship where maybe there's broken trust or whatever the case may be. But you would never say to your child, "I hope you're no longer my son. You're no longer my daughter." And so our Heavenly Father would never do the same either. If you're truly born again, you're in the family of God forever. Because God is a loving Heavenly Father. It's an unconditional love. And so your relationship with God, there's an aspect of it that's static, that can never change. But there is an aspect of it that can change, that can fluctuate. Your walk with Jesus, your experience of him speaking to you and leading you and directing your steps, answering your prayers. See, that can change. And you know, nowadays we all use cell phones, right? And it's like this, you know, maybe you have a cell phone, you're talking to a loved one. And I remember growing up, I had T-Mobile, amen. And every now and then, some people know exactly what I'm getting at here. Sometimes you have a bad connection. Sometimes you're in that certain part of the house, and you can't really hear what the other person is trying to tell you. And they can't hear what you're trying to tell them. And there's just something going on in the atmosphere, whatever it is, that's kind of hindering the connection. So I got to leave that room, or I got to stand with my leg up this way and do it. I don't know. You got to do something to get the right connection, and then you can restore that the conversation, right? And so it is with God, that there are some things that enter into our relationship with God that hinder the connection, that hinder him clearly speaking to us and us speaking to him. If I regard iniquity in my heart, he will not hear me. And so we want to do everything we can to cultivate a strong connection with God. It's not enough to just say, yeah, I'm saved. Yeah, I'm going to heaven. No, that's just the starting point. Now it's about living and cultivating a strong relationship with your God and with your Savior. And John here he's pastoral. He's writing this letter from a pastor's heart who's concerned for his people. He's concerned that they are missing out on some very basic but vitally important issues in their relationship with God. John's emphasis in this letter is, first of all, you can know that you have eternal life. We talked about that last week. Eternal life is not an it. Eternal life is a he. His name is Jesus. And you can know that you have eternal life if you know you have Jesus. My friend, this morning, have you come to Jesus? I'm not asking, have you come to the waters of baptism? I'm not asking, have you attended church faithfully? I'm asking, have you come to Jesus Christ alone and say, Lord, I need you. I'm a sinner and I'm in need of your saving power. That's the way of salvation. And to know Jesus is to know eternal life. And then you can have intimate, joyful relationship with God by walking in the light. And so let's consider some of those thoughts this morning. Number one, the position of fellowship. The position of fellowship. Well, everything begins with God. It all begins with God. And the Bible tells us here in verse 5, God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. We must begin our understanding of God here. God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. John is declaring the simple truth that light, by definition, has no darkness in it whatsoever. For there to be darkness, there must be the absence of light. And so essentially, this is another way of saying God is absolutely perfect. God is absolutely perfect. There's no aspect of God's character and God's ways that we can say, maybe that part's wrong. Maybe that part's not so good. You know, you can do that in my life. And some of you probably do. Pastor Lubin, he did that the other day. And my wife can give you a long list of areas where I'm not perfect. And all of us, we can find areas where, you know, here out on the edges, maybe there's some things that are rough that we need to shape up. Not with God. He's absolutely perfect in his character and in everything he chooses to do. Everything. That means even the things that you think are bad, his way is perfect. He's light. There's no darkness at all. The hurts, the pains, the sickness, whatever it is that he allows to come into your life, his way is perfect. Do you believe that this morning, Christian? That God, I don't understand this. I don't even like this, but Lord, you're light. And there's no darkness in you at all. And I can trust you. We need to have that understanding. It all begins with God. He is light. He's absolutely perfect. And the nature of God then determines the conditions of our fellowship with him. And you know, it seems to me that a lot of Christians today, they treat God as if God is like some divine butler. God is only there to make your life better, and God is only interested in you. It's just a one-way street here. God is all about what you want to do in life. That's not Christianity. No, the Christian life is, Lord, I want to get in on what you're doing. I want to humbly submit myself to who you are, to your ways, to your power, to your nature. And so when we understand who God is, it enables us to then worship him in truth and in spirit, right? Enables us to live for him in sincerity and submission to him. Some people treat God as if he's only there for their own personal growth. God is just a self-help guy. He's just like a vitamin in the cupboard that whenever you need something, you take that specific vitamin. Now you get the job, you get the health, you get the wealth. That's all that God is there for. That's not who God is. Listen, we are just his servants. We are slaves, period, to a holy God. And by the way, that's a glorious privilege. I'd rather be the slave of God, like Paul said, than the slave of sin and a servant of Satan, which all of us once were, the Bible says. Until you come to Jesus Christ, you're servant of sin. But God has transformed us to now be his servants. And God is holy. God is perfect. God is righteous. God is just. God is merciful. And we need to understand the nature of our God. his character before we can then enter into relationship and fellowship with him. And so when God's word says he is light, that means he's absolutely pure. He's absolutely perfect. He's absolutely good in all that he does. And we realize that even examples of in nature we can't even properly use because the sun is light. But we know that the sun has sunspots, dark spots within the sun that again, it's not as radiant as God is. Right? And so God is absolutely light. And therefore, if there's a problem this morning with your connection with God, where he's not speaking to you, you're not speaking to him, there's a broken connection, there's not nearness, there's not fellowship, guess what? It's not God's fault. It's yours. If there's a problem in your relationship with God and you look around and you see, well, my people around me, they're connecting with God, but I'm not getting it, then there's a problem there, isn't there? And it's not God's fault because God is light. You see, in him, there's no darkness at all. And so there are conditions for fellowship. Fellowship with God means in verse number 6, it says, if we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. So you cannot walk with God and walk in darkness. You cannot walk in the light and walk in darkness. Verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And so John is teaching us a few things here. First, there's you're fellowshipping with God, walking in the light, or you're walking in darkness. The two are mutually opposed to each other. And our relationship is based on our walking in the light. Okay, what does it mean to walk in the light? Well, walking indicates a pattern of living. Walking is a habit of life, your lifestyle, we could say. Walking is a direction, a path that you're on. That's what walking means. Our relationship with Jesus began by grace through faith. And by the way, it's maintained by grace through faith. But grace and faith is not passive. Grace and faith is active. There's activity. Now that he has come into my life, there's divine activity that the things I used to do, I don't do them anymore because I'm walking in the light. The places I used to go, I don't go there anymore because now I'm walking in the light. Grace doesn't just keep me down in my slop and my sin. Grace lifts me up out of that so that I can now walk in light. You see, grace teaches us to deny all ungodliness, the Bible says. Grace isn't cheap. I'm tired of people preaching a cheap grace that lets you stay in sin. Grace lifts you up. I'm not saying you're going to be perfect, but your walk, the direction you're heading in now is light. And as we walk in the light, you know, let's be honest, there are times we stumble in darkness. There are times we get tripped up by the darkness. We get hindered. We get discouraged. We get confused. We get deceived. But to walk in the light is to get back up again and now get back on the right track, get on the right direction to obey the Lord once more. So our relationship with God is by grace through faith, but there is active cooperation. There's obedience. There's surrendering to God, and that's what's indicated by walking in the light. And so what John is teaching is that walking in the light is possible. It's not possible to be perfect, to be sinless this side of heaven. But it is possible to walk in perfect obedience, to surrender, say, Lord, anything you ask of me, I will obey you. That's what walking in the light means. Walking in the light means to live in a general obedience and surrender to God without harboring sin, without resisting the conviction of the Holy Spirit on any particular point. And the closer we get to the light, the more the light exposes the darkness in us. The more the light exposes our sin and our need to repent and confess sin. And I've known that to be true in my life. As God has worked in my heart and life, and I'm by no means where I'm supposed to be right now, I'm still growing. But as I've journeyed in this journey of the Christian faith and walking with God, the closer I get to him, he says, all right, Carl, what about this? Will you give this to me? Okay, I'm glad you gave that to me. Now what about this? And it's like, oh, man, again, Lord? Okay, here we go. Then he says, okay, what about this area? Now, what about this? Will you give that to me? Will you surrender that? Will you repent of that? Will you change that? And the closer we get to the light, the more he changes us, and we become like him. And that's what it means to walk in the light. Again, God is absolutely holy. He cannot look down with favor upon any form of sin. Habakkuk 1:13 says, "Thou art pure, thou art of purer eyes than to behold evil, and canst not look on iniquity. Therefore, to have fellowship with God, we cannot walk in darkness." Now, on the other hand, if we walk in the light, then we can have fellowship with God. And we can have fellowship one with another, by the way. And verse 7 tells us it's all based on the cleansing power of the blood of Jesus Christ. That's the basis for our fellowship. But John is setting some conditions of fellowship with God. We can't walk in darkness. Let's go to the Gospel of John, John chapter 3. John chapter 3. You see, all of us this morning are on this journey. And some of us, we've been at this for a while. Some of us are just getting started. That's okay. Wherever you are in your journey, determine, I'm going to walk in the light. You may not look like the guy next to you or the girl next to you, but you got to decide, Lord, as you lead me, I want to walk in the light. Look at John chapter 3 and look at verse number 19. Verse 19 says, "And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light." Why? "Because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God." And so we ought to have that love for the light, love for God's holiness, love for God's righteousness, and desire to live according to God's will and God's nature. And so to have fellowship with God, we cannot walk in darkness. And so God set some conditions to have a strong connection with him. Okay, what does it mean to walk in darkness? Darkness in the Bible represents sin. Spiritual darkness is idolatry, unbelief, right? Being blind to the truth of the gospel, false doctrine, false teaching, doctrinal error. Moral darkness can include sexual immorality, lying, stealing, drinking, drugs, all the vices of this world that tries to push itself on us. People are walking in darkness. We are always tempted to go towards darkness. Jesus taught us that we can let our light so shine before men in Matthew 5:16 that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. We have a choice. We have a decision. Will we walk in darkness or will we walk in light? Our Lord said in John 8, verse 12, "I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Ephesians 5:8 says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light." Do you notice your position? You've been changed. You've been transformed. Stop making excuses for sin and decide, Lord, it is possible to walk in the light because you called me a child of the light. That's who you saved me to be, children of light. 1 Peter 2:9 tells us, "God hath called us out of darkness into his marvelous light." How many of you are thankful God has called you out of darkness? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Where would we be if we were still walking in darkness? Hey, listen, we don't have all the answers. We're not perfect, but we're just trying to follow the light. Amen. He is the light. 2 Corinthians 6:14, "Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness?" And then number two, my second point this morning, the presence of sin. Let's go back to our text in 1 John 1, and let's look at verse number 8. And the Bible says, "If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us." See, fellowship with God requires honesty and transparency. It requires that we acknowledge the truth about ourselves. To deny that we are sinners means self-deception. Don't make excuses. Call it what it is. Lord, there's sin here, and I need to come clean. I need to get right with you all the way through. I'm not going to sweep it under the rug. I'm not going to rationalize it and say, well, everybody's doing this. Well, my culture does this. Well, Lord, this is sin. I'm going to be honest, and it's here in my life. That's what God is asking us to do if we want to have the right relationship with him. It requires honesty, transparency, but there's always been a big problem that we're self-righteous. We don't want to consider ourselves sinful. I'm not so bad compared to the next guy. You should hear my neighbor. You should see what my friends say at school. I'm not as bad as they are, and we want to kind of be self-righteous. But we're not comparing ourselves with each other. We're comparing ourselves to Jesus. That's the goal, to be like Christ. That's the standard for us. And so there's a big problem that self-righteousness and being deluded by our self-righteousness, we need to acknowledge the sin when it creeps up in our lives. You know, what John was dealing with here in his day, I mentioned this last week, were the Gnostics. It was a false teaching that was prevalent in his day, and the Gnostics were guilty of antinomianism. That means they believe in no law. There should be no rules, no laws. They believe that everything physical didn't matter. It was all about spiritual knowledge. And so they essentially believed in religion without morality. That it's all about what you know and who cares how you live because your body doesn't matter. Man, that kind of sounds familiar. It sounds like there's still some Gnostics running around today that say that what anything goes, no law, no righteousness. And they thought that the body was kind of just like an envelope around the spirit and could not be contaminated by the things you do. And so you couldn't be defiled by your behavior, by your deeds, and so it didn't matter. So this was a delusion. It was an error in John's day. And so this was a critical thing that he's writing here. Dealing with sin so that we can maintain a right relationship with God. This was a huge issue that he was dealing with. And again, the issue here is not so much salvation, it's fellowship. I'm going to say that one more time. The issue of 1 John is not so much salvation, but fellowship. Why? He's writing to people that are already saved. They're already in the family. They're already born again. They're already believers. But they need to maintain a right connection with God. That's the issue here. And don't miss that key point. He's saying here that the Christian who temporarily stumbles in darkness is still saved, but is not in fellowship with God and needs to make it right. See, salvation is a matter of life and death, but fellowship is a matter of walking in light and darkness. And so if you are saved, you know for sure your sins are forgiven. Are you walking in the light? Or are you messing around with darkness? Letting darkness creep up and not dealing with it. And you're saying, hey, it's not really so bad. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. And so let's zero in on this. We said if God is light, then fellowship with him is dependent upon walking in light, walking in moral purity. So what does that look like? Some people would say, well, it's keeping a list of rules. Don't dance, don't drink, don't do drugs, don't go out cussing and doing all this stuff and do all those things and you'll walk in the light. And that on the surface maybe may look good, but can I tell you something? There's plenty of people that don't do those things and are not walking in the light. I mean, we can point to all the different sects and groups and that are strict, that have all types of rules and regulations, and they don't even know who Jesus really is. So walking in the light is not just about do's and don'ts. It's not just about your external behavior. It starts with maintaining oneness with Jesus Christ. Walking in the light is that desire. Lord, I want to maintain oneness, a close connection. I want to draw nigh unto you. I don't want anything to come between me and you. I want to walk as close as I can with you. That's how it starts. That's how it begins. It's not a list of things that make you feel better about yourself. It's not impressing other people. It's walking closely to Jesus. And when you walk closely to Jesus, there's things you won't do. There's places you won't go. That's just a fact. Listen, love creates rules. That's just the honest fact. A God that says everyone can do how they please, that would be a bad God. That would be no God at all. Hey, a father, parents that would say, hey, just do whatever you want, that's not love. It's love to put boundaries and around people. Why? Because we don't want people to hurt themselves. We don't want people to go off into evil and wickedness and to be hurt and injured, and God certainly doesn't want that. And so God has told us that we need to obey him. And sin, when we disobey God, sin is literally the transgression of the law. God draws a line in the sand and To sin is to step over that line. That's what sin is. But I want to tell you this morning that it's much more than crossing a line. You know, sin is not just, well, here's a stop sign, and I kind of rolled through the stop sign. Sorry, town of Hempstead, no big deal. No, that's impersonal. All of us need to view our sin like a spouse cheating and being adulterous to another spouse. And immediately you think of the hurt, the pain, because that's what it is. Sin is very personal with God. God is a jealous God. He's jealous for our love, our affection. And when we sin, it's not just impersonal, just casual. It's very personal. We're hurting and grieving the Holy Spirit when we choose sin. And so we need to acknowledge the presence of sin in our lives and deal with it and come clean about it. And our morality then builds oneness and intimacy with Christ. In this relational setting, what John is teaching us is when we have a right relationship with Jesus, that's the glue that holds together all the other relationships in your life, in the church, in your family, in your community, right? That's what verse 7 says. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, his son, cleanseth us from all sin. So John's message is that we can walk in the light, walk in the truth, walk in obedience. Sin is a big deal. That sin hinders our fellowship with God. Sin is a barrier to our closeness with God, so we need to deal with our sin. But then thirdly, the provisions of fellowship. Verse number 9, John says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar. His word is not in us. So instead of acting like it's not there, John says, confess it. To confess means to acknowledge it, to agree that, Lord, this is wrong. Lord, this is evil. And Lord, I've hurt you by this. Lord, this is personal. Lord, I've sinned against your light, your holiness, your righteous character. Lord, I've sinned against you. I've sinned against maybe those around me. We come to God for confession and for forgiveness. See, God gives us a way back to him, doesn't he? Again, I mentioned that illustration. There may be times where there's a broken connection. We're not talking about salvation. We're talking about fellowship with God. And as a Christian, there are times where that fellowship is strained. I'm not as close to Jesus as I ought to be. But you know what? I don't have to stay there. It doesn't have to be that way. I don't have to live there where I'm just far away from God. No, the Bible gives a way back to God. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us. We serve a merciful God. This is powerful because everything I just shared about the holy character of God, he has nothing to do with sin, but yet in his mercy, he chooses to forgive our sins. He's a merciful God. He's a compassionate God. He's a loving God. He's a righteous judge because he doesn't just overlook our sin. He forgives our sin. And how is he able to forgive us? Verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ. How is a holy God able to forgive our sin? Some people think he just kind of overlooks it and, no big deal. No, sin is always judged, always. And he forgives us because Jesus was judged for our sins. The condemnation that you and I deserved, Jesus bore on the cross. The cup of God's wrath was poured out in full upon Jesus Christ so that now God can forgive us and continue forgiving us as we live in this world. Praise the Lord. Glory to God for that. That we can walk in continual cleansing and forgiveness. This provision of fellowship. The presence of sin in our lives doesn't have to be the only reality. Some people always talk about the fact, well, nobody's perfect. I have sin in my life, and yes, that's true, but that doesn't have to be the only reality, because there is a way for forgiveness. God in his mercy offers forgiveness, and obviously forgiveness starts at the moment of saving faith, right? Your position, you're transformed, you're born again, but here John is talking about sanctification. This is really a verse not for salvation, but for sanctification. So I often bring people here for believers getting right with God, not sinners that need to get saved. You can apply it that way, but this is for Christian people. Is it possible for Christians to sin? The answer, of course, is yes. But that doesn't have to be the only reality because you can be forgiven. Sin doesn't take away your salvation, but sin does mar your fellowship with God, your connection, your communion with God. And so we confess our sins. The presence of sin, the confession of sin, and the cleansing from sin is all here. And if we confess our sins, that means that the thing that's hindering my fellowship with God, maybe if there's a drain that's clogged, what do I got to do to get the water to go down? I got to unclog the drain, right? And so if there's something that's blocking my connection with God, I got to get rid of that thing. And it's called sin. It could be pride, could be worldliness, could be selfishness, whatever it is. It could be anger, bitterness, lying. I don't know, whatever it is that's hindering that connection, you got to confess it and forsake it to restore fellowship. And how do we confess our sins? Some people say, well, you got to go to a priest. That's not what the Bible says. That's a tradition of men. You don't have to go to a priest. You can go directly to God through the Lord Jesus Christ, your great high priest. Amen. You can have direct access to the Father. And so we make our confession directly to God. And to confess literally is the idea to say the same thing as. That I'm agreeing with what God calls my sin. Lord, this is lust. This is bitterness. This is pride. This is anger. It's not just a mistake. It's not just, well, a little fib, a little white lie. We call it what it is, and that shows a couple of things. That shows our view towards our sin, that we actually do hate the sin. And it shows our love for God, that we want to take His side. That's what confession means. You take God's side, even against yourself. You say, Lord, this is evil and wrong, and I want to get rid of it in my life. Lord, I'm coming to you for forgiveness. When we come to God that way, the Bible says He is faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us. That means it's a guarantee. He will forgive. He will cleanse. Now, this is of equal importance, because how many times there's sin in our lives, the Holy Spirit convicts us of that sin, we feel guilty, we go to God in forgiveness, but Satan comes and still wants us to feel guilty. We've agreed with God that it's wrong. We've applied 1 John 1:9, but Satan comes and says, oh, you're no good. You're going to go to church this morning? Don't you know what you did last week? You're going to open up that Bible and read it? You? Don't you know the thoughts that you had just a few minutes ago? And he's the accuser of the brethren, isn't he? You're going to try to witness to people? Don't you know what's in your past? Who do you think you are? And he wants you to feel guilty. And he wants you to stay in your sin and to be despondent. See, the Holy Spirit makes you feel guilty, but gives you hope that there's forgiveness on the other side of Jesus. But the devil will take that sin and make you feel guilty, that you're in bondage and you can never, ever leave that sin behind. You need to mark the voice of the Holy Spirit and the voice of the accuser of the brethren. We need to have discernment for that. And I want to encourage you, you can be forgiven and cleansed, not because you feel like it, but because God said so. Just like when you were saved. You can say, Lord, that pride, that arrogance I showed in that conversation with that person perhaps, and I'm coming to you and I want to confess that that was wrong, and I'm going to go to them and ask their forgiveness too and confess it and forsake it. And I'm not saying it's a pride thing, but you can walk with your head held high knowing that you are forgiven because God said so. He promised you He is faithful and just to forgive you and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. And so this is based, of course, on the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. It's not based on the words you said in your prayer. It's based on the principle of the blood of Jesus Christ. This cleansing obviously began at salvation, and it's ongoing. It's continual. And we need that continual cleansing. You know, Jesus told Peter that sometimes you need to have your feet washed. You don't need the whole bath of your body. You're saved at you're completely cleansed at salvation. But as you walk through this world of sin, all the filth and dirt of this world starts to collect upon you. You can come to Him for forgiveness and cleansing to restore that fellowship with Him. That's what 1 John 1:9 is talking about. And so the promise of 1 John 1:9 is not an excuse to sin. Someone said, okay, if God will just forgive me, then I'll just sin. I could always ask, after all, I could always just go to God for forgiveness later, can I? I'm just going to dabble in this and indulge in this now, and I'll just go for forgiveness later, right? Listen, I don't think a true believer that's walking in the light is going to think that way. It's going to want to indulge sinfulness. You're going to have a healthy hatred of sinfulness. This verse is not something that should lead us into sin. It's a verse that will lead us out of sin. That I want to get away from sin, and God's going to forgive me and cleanse me, and I'm never going back by his power. That's what 1 John 1:9 is. It's not a license to sin. No, it's a reason for us to go on in victory. By the way, we're going to look at 1 John chapter 2. Let's take a sneak peek. We'll look at it next week, but let's take a sneak peek now. 1 John 2, verse 1, my little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. If you have any question about what's God's will for my life, is that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. There's the provision. God's made a way of escape. But his goal, his will, is that we sin not. And so this morning, you can come to salvation. You can come to that place where you're born again, you have eternal life, only by coming to Jesus Christ and trusting in him and him alone. Not through the waters of baptism, not through your church membership, not through good works, only through the blood that we read about here in 1 John 1, verse 7. The blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. That's the blood that he shed on the cross when he died in your place. On that basis, you can receive forgiveness and eternal life. Christian, this morning you can walk in the light. The habit of your life, your lifestyle can be characterized by light. The direction that you're heading in can be characterized by light. Again, it's based on the blood of Jesus Christ. It's based on God's mercy, God's love for you. You can enjoy a close connection with God. It doesn't have to be, well, my parents had a strong connection with God, or this other brother I know, but I'm far from God. It doesn't have to be that way. All of us can be as close to God as we want to be. All of us can draw nigh to God like the Bible promises, and he will draw nigh unto us. That is a guarantee. And so have you been cleansed? Are you walking in the light? Are you allowing sin to hinder your fellowship with God? If so, 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the opportunity to study your word today. Thank you, Lord, for the conviction, for the encouragement that you give us. Lord, we can have close fellowship with you. We can enjoy intimacy with you. We can walk with you, talk with you, have you lead and direct our steps. But Lord, help us to see the hindrance to that fellowship is sin. Lord, so often we're tempted with the darkness that's all around us. Help us to be vigilant. Help us to be on guard. Help us to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit's leading, that we don't walk in darkness. And Lord, when we do that, we would come quickly to you for forgiveness, for cleansing, for restoration of fellowship. Lord, perhaps there's some here that have never truly been saved. Lord, would you show them their need? Would you, by your Spirit, clearly convict them? And for believers, may they see their need of restoration of fellowship, that they won't go another moment without restoring fellowship. With our heads bowed and our eyes closed this morning, and Christians are praying, we're doing business with God. I'm going to ask our pianist to play softly. We always have this time of invitation as an opportunity to respond to whatever the Holy Spirit's talking to you about. Maybe this morning for you, you're not even sure if you're saved. You're not sure if you have eternal life. You have some questions about that. If that's you, would you slip your hand up this morning and say, Pastor, I'm not sure if I have eternal life. I'm not sure if I'm born again, if I'm saved. I've got some questions about that. If that's you, would you slip your hand up? Say, I need to get this settled, that I have eternal life. How about it, Christian? How's your walk with God? Can you, in your honest evaluation, say that you're walking in the light? Or are you stumbling around in darkness? None of us are perfect, but we're called to live in obedience. Oh, may you run to Jesus to find cleansing and forgiveness and a restoration, to start walking again in God's light, in God's fellowship. Oh, may all around this room there be honest confession, agreement with God, removal of sin and its guilt, its stain, restoration of fellowship. Maybe this morning there's a specific sin that God is speaking to you about and you haven't dealt with it in a long time. You've been brushing it aside. You've been justifying or rationalizing it. Maybe it's time to come clean. Agree with God to find cleansing and forgiveness.